Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
We haven't met. My name is Dominic. I'm one of the leaders here. And let me just say, like, you've already met our amazing team, our youth leaders. And I want to tell you, like, if you're new, still exploring church, like, we have, like, a November that is packed with so many amazing things that God is doing. And our prayer is not that we would make your life busy or our lives busy, but these different things that we plan are meant to help us to learn how to be Christians together, how to understand God better, how to grow, how to be stretched, how to sacrifice together. So if you're kind of new, we hope you'd like, you know, buy a ticket for the coffee house thing and just be part of what we're doing. This week, we're actually beginning a new teaching series for 4 weeks before we get really close to Christmas and winter. We'll be here. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be learning from the story of a person called Jonah. And some of you may be familiar with the idea of Jonah. Maybe you know somebody called Jonah. You've read the story in the Bible. But for some of you, maybe that's kind of a new idea, except that, like, in our culture, you know, even people who don't read the Bible have an idea of, like, oh, it's a big fish who swallows a guy. It's in this story. You know, and so we hope that as you read it, you'll kind of get acquainted with the story. But to kind of give you a feel of what the story of Jonah is like, I want you to think of one of the most embarrassing moments in your life. Just take a minute and think about it. You don't have to tell anyone. You don't have to share it. If you're online, you can think about this. If you're driving, listening with somebody, you could tell them, I'm a loser, whatever. Just think about the most embarrassing moment of your life. Okay, something that happened, you all got it? 30 seconds. I remember for me, most embarrassing moment. I remember when I was young, I was like my 20s. I'm still young, but when I was younger, I was learning to, like, help at a church, and I was, like, kind of in my 20s. I was driving, nervous, and I remember as I got to the church one night, it was a Sunday night service. Churches used to have, like, evening services still. Some still do, and we pray for them, but whatever. We used to do that all the time, and it was like, wow, that's a lot. And I would go and help, and I remember driving to church, and as I'm getting closer to the church, I see a cop car starting to, like, follow me, behind me, and I'm like, you know, I'm driving okay. You get nervous if you drive and you see a cop car right away. You're like back at the driving school mode, right? You're like, I don't know. What did I do, right? And it's following me. I'm turning. It's turning with me. And I'm just going to church. I'm thinking about what I'm going to tell the cop if he pulls me over. I'm like, I'm going to church. I know I'm young, but I'm really going to church on a Sunday night. But wait, l'église, whatever. I'm going to church. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to tell him about Jesus or something. And as soon as we get right at the street, I turn to the street right where the church is. The lights of the cop car go on right as we turn. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna lose my job at the church. I pull over right in front of the church, and as people are walking into the church, the cop gets out talking to me, and I'm like trying to wave and say, like, no, I'm not going to jail. I'm like, no, I don't have a ticket. It was just like a random check, and I was clean, right? Any of you believe that? Yeah, I was clean. It's true. But for me, I think I was, like, embarrassed. I couldn't express myself. I was nervous. You might have a moment in your mind when you think of being embarrassed, right? I want you to think about that because the story of Jonah is us looking into a person's life when they are most embarrassed with the way they respond to God. It's basically the feeling of a person making constant mistakes of being disobedient, and we, in this embarrassing moments in his life, get to read about it. Imagine somebody took your embarrassing moments and put them in a book that in the future other people will read about your embarrassing moments. It's kind of hard to picture that. But that's kind of the book of Jonah. God gives us these books in the Bible, not so that we would laugh at Jonah, not that we would say that's silly, but that we would learn to not make the same mistakes. And Jonah is this person in the Old Testament. If you're familiar with the Bible, there's a New and an Old Testament. And in 4 chapters, we follow him as he's wrestling with what it means to be obedient. And now, if you're new to learning from the Bible, I remember this happened to me when I was, like, learning about the Bible. Like, I thought the Bible was full of people who always did the right things. Like, I thought, like, I'm not reading the Bible because it feels like a religious book for, like, old people. But I feel like everybody in the Bible is like Mother Teresa, or everybody's doing miracles. And then you read it and you're like, that's not what the Bible is. Like, you read the Bible and you're like, these are like people like us. struggling, wondering whether God's with them, being disobedient, not listening. Some of them are being obedient. And so in a sense, as we read Jonah, I think God wants us to see ourselves in his story. The times when we maybe feel like we've made these mistakes and maybe God won't use us, and Jonah's like, still, God's still gonna use him as he makes these mistakes. Or you feel you're not perfect, and that's why coming to church or visiting church feels weird or guilty. And God's like, listen, have you read about Jonah? Like, Jonah's a mess. And I'm still with him and helping him. And so we're going to learn this together as we go through the book of Jonah. If you have a Bible and you just open up the book of Jonah, right at the beginning, you learn that Jonah is a prophet. So I'll explain just a second. You'll see it on the screen. It says this: the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, right at the beginning of the first verse of the chapter 1 of Jonah. And if you're not familiar with the language of the Old Testament or prophets, Jonah is one of 12 minor prophets. So that I mean, if you start to read the Bible, you'll meet these four, these 12 like minor prophets, which are shorter letters in the Old Testament of prophets writing to the people of God about things they have to get serious about. Now, there's also a section called the major prophets. And so Jonah's just one of those prophets. And if you're reading the letter, you'll know that some of the prophets overlap different things that they say. But I thought it'd be really good, just as we begin, to tell you a little bit about the idea of being a prophet. Like, I think it's strange because for a lot of people, I'm not a prophet, and like, you're not a prophet, so you read the Bible and you're like, what is a prophet? And how do you become a prophet? This was so important to the people of God in the Old Testament that they understood that God sometimes calls people, he sets them apart, and he calls them to be prophets. Now, if you want to remember this very important idea, that in the Old Testament, a prophet, that was their job. Okay? Means they were always a prophet. Like, once God called them to be a prophet, it was like their office and their job to be a prophet all the time. Sometimes they spoke prophetic messages, but even when they didn't share these messages, they were still a prophet. So when people saw them, they were always like a little bit nervous that they might say something like, you know, I saw what you posted on social media, I'm the prophet. Like, always anxious a bit about like, is the prophet going to correct us? Is the prophet going to say something to us that's going to make us nervous? Jonah is a prophet. Now, the reason I tell you this is that we live in a time where even today, Christians talk about people having a prophetic gift, meaning they might share something they feel God is saying to them that feels like for you, but that person doesn't become a prophet. They just have a prophetic gift or maybe a spiritual gift to share with you, but their job doesn't change tomorrow. And they're like, I quit my job at the school and I became a prophet. You'd be like, what did you do? What? So I want to teach you this idea because I find that we're living in a time that when people hear the word prophet, it can be very confusing. It can be like, I get this on my phone. I don't know if it's because of my algorithms of stuff I see. People are like, come to a conference with prophet so-and-so. I'm like, what is this? And I thought, if I'm confused, I figure people in our church, if you're watching online, you're like, you might be confused and you're like, what does that even mean? In the Old Testament, when you were a prophet, that was your job, calling of God. And the reason that they were prophets is not only did God give them special revelation, remember that? God gave them a special revelation for what he was saying to them for his people, but that revelation was recorded for future generations to read. That's why we're reading the book of Jonah today. You're not writing down what I'm saying and saying Prophet Dom said this and then recording it and passing it on. Now, you could. It might not be a bad idea. But in general, if I said to you, I'm going to be a prophet, you'd be like, that doesn't kind of feel right because I'm a pastor. In the New Testament, there's a prophetic gift, but the office of the prophet is only in the Old Testament. Now, when Christians thought about this, this is the most beautiful way they explain it to us. And you'll see it with a slide on the screen from a book to the book of Hebrews. This is what it says. That in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. Jonah falls in this category. At many times and in various ways. But in these last days, now that Jesus has come and we're living in a new time, right? Last days was the idea. He has spoken to us by Jesus, his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. This was so important. That when Jesus comes, Jesus is the one that all the prophets who are writing are pointing to. And what's important about Jesus the Son is he was there when the universe was created. Now, if you want to remember this, is remember that Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus was not a prophet. Jesus is something so much other than we can understand. And as we go through this series, that'll become more and more clear. The reason I want to just say this before we get you to Jonah, because it's wild, chapter 1, is that in our world, many other religious people know of the story of Jonah. For example, if you've ever read the Quran, there's sections of the story of Jonah in the Quran. There's sections of the story of Jonah in the Old Testament for the Jewish people. But Christians interpret Jonah in a completely different way. And if you don't learn that, you might be like, you know what, like all religions are all the same. You know, they all believe the same stories about stories in the Bible. They're fables, they're not true. And that can be confusing. So I thought I would just begin by just telling you what it means to understand the role of Jonah the prophet and how that's different from today when you hear the idea of somebody saying, like a prophet, okay? Pretty simple, not at all, very complex, right? But hopefully you understand it enough, and if you missed anything, you can watch it again on YouTube. If you're in a home group, you'll enjoy the discussion this week. But we're told that Jonah gets a message from God, and this is what he's supposed to do. The Lord gave the message to Jonah. He said to get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. To get away from the Lord, he bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. All of us, right away, you feel the anxiety. You're like, what are you doing? What is happening right now? Like, this is a messenger of God who's been called of God, who's seen the hand of God, and he decides that in this moment, for many complex reasons, that he wants nothing to do with this assignment. This assignment from God. Like, think about how crazy this is. Like, be obedient, do what you're called to do. Like, all of us feel that. Like, you have an assignment. If somebody works for you, you ask them to do something. If you work at McDonald's, you get up at 5 a.m. to make French fries, do that. Like, if you get there and you're like, you didn't show up, like, what do you mean you just didn't do that? Jonah starts to reveal that his heart, although he loves God, he's decided that he still wants to live his life in his own kind of way. It doesn't take long to start to feel like Jonah feels a lot of the things that I've felt in my life. Like, I love God, I read the Bible, sometimes I go to church, but if God asks me anything hard, then it sounds weird. I'm not doing that. That's like strange. Jonah is told by God that he has to do something that is very unique. Remember this. Jonah is one of the few prophets in the Bible that's given a message not for the people of God, but for the people that are not Jewish people. The people in Nineveh are a whole other people group that Jewish people hate. And Jonah's like, did God just say I need to go to Nineveh? Like, if you're into history buffs, you'll know this very, very quickly. But Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. And the Assyrians were like this conquesting nation of people. You'll just see an image, just kind of the dates of what roughly would have been the period of the conquest of the Assyrians. Just imagine that the Assyrian people had killed so many Jewish people. And if you're Jonah, you're like, I'm not going there. Like, there's no way I'm going there for so many reasons. One, I hate those people. They killed my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and I'm not going to talk to them. Two, what if they kill me? How many of you are like, Jonah, it's a good point. It's a good point, bro. I don't know. So he's thinking, I'm not going. And the Bible says that Jonah kind of flees to try to escape being in the presence of God. Now, just so you know, the Bible uses like language like that to help us understand that he thinks he can run away. But Jonah's a prophet. He knows that you can't just run away from the presence of God. He knows this. And as he does this, he has to wrestle with, like, why would God ever want to save these people that we hate? Think about the person that's hurt you, someone you can never forgive, someone that you revenge, to think that God says, why don't you go to them and you tell them that I see how they're living, and if they change their ways, I'll love them. You're like, no, I don't want those people at all. I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. Jonah feels all of this tension in his heart. He wants nothing to do with the people of Nineveh. Maybe there's some other reasons that Jonah's struggling with. He's afraid. Maybe he's frustrated with, like, the last time he did something for God, it didn't work out. Jonah maybe knows something that we all know, that nobody wants to be told when they're living a life that doesn't please God. Do you know anybody who likes to be told that they're wrong at all? Anyone? Have you ever met anybody? You tell them, you know, I think your life is a mess. They're like, thanks, it's so true. I love that. Love you. Let's be friends on social media. Nobody. Nobody wants that. Jonah knows this. I know this. He's like, you want to go tell these people that I already hate, that they're going to see me a mile away as a Jew, right? And they're going to try to kill me with the arrows that they have, right? And you want to go tell them, God sees how you live, and he wants you to kind of like change it up. It's not going to work. Think about the times in your life you have been tempted to say no to God. It's so easy to just talk about Jonah. That's easy. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about the times you knew that God was saying, I'm calling you to be obedient in a period where it will not be easy. But you need to say yes. And you say, no. God says, you know, I think you know that I've blessed you in so many good ways. I provided for you, and you're hearing about the need of a water well and things that are happening, and I want you to be generous. And you're like, that's so nice, but no. Or like you hear about that our kids' ministry is growing and we might need help for people to maybe find their place and serve with us and maybe begin to, you know, help the next generation learn about Jesus. And you're like, that'd be so great. Maybe I should do that. But no. I can go on and on and on. Now, there's times to say no. But there's times when God says you keep saying no and you don't understand that only when you say yes will you start to hear my grace, my strength is available for you in this moment. I tell you a time in my life when I said no. And I kept saying no. I'll never forget that in my life, what's most consistent in my mind about when I kept saying no to God is when he started to quietly just prompt. I didn't see an angel. I wasn't hovering, nothing weird. But I started to sense that God was calling my family and I to leave Ontario to come start a new church in Quebec. And I said no. I'm like, I want nothing to do with Quebec. I'm not coming here. Like, I grew up here, but I'm like, whatever. The Habs suck, like nothing works here. The friend, don't get me started. It's a whole other sermon series, okay? But I kept thinking, I'm like, no, I'm not going. And I was a pastor at a church in Ontario. I love was being obedient. I was, oh, I love this. It's going to be great. And quietly, I was like, that's nice, but it's time to go now. And I'm like, no. And then I thought, you know what's going to be great? I'm going to tell my wife, and she's going to say no. And then together, we can say no to God together. That's the best. If you find a person to be disobedient with, you're both dead. But it feels good for like 30 seconds. So we're like, hon, you know what? We're going to leave Ontario. I know your family lives down the street. I know, but we're going to go to Quebec and maybe die planting a church there. You know? And she's like, she prays and she's like, you know the story. She's like, I think we should do this. I'm like, no. She says, yes. But I'm so happy. She helped me see that I needed to say yes. Because if we didn't say yes, we'd never meet all of you. The beautiful gift of some of you being great and some of you were on that fence. But the gift of saying yes, but Jonah says no. Jonah keeps saying no. Jonah doesn't understand that one of the gracious things that God wants to do for the people of Nineveh is for them to learn that God sees the wicked ways in their lives. Just let that sink in. That one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us is when he shows us that how we're living does not honor him. And the people in Nineveh, maybe they don't think that the God of Israel is their God, but Jonah's going to go and tell them that my God sees the wicked things that you do. And one of the most profound things that they need to understand is that the decisions that they're making, the violence, the rape, the pillaging, all the stuff of the Assyrian conquest was destroying all the people around them. Can you imagine this Jewish prophet showing up and telling you, hey, Assyrians taking over the world, God sees what you're doing. And if you don't change your ways, you might experience something you never experienced before. As you read the story of Jonah, you'll start to see this. Can I encourage you as we go through the book of Jonah to be careful if you notice a pattern in your life and in your heart that always ends with no when God's calling you to step out in faith? Be careful. Because it's only as you say yes that you'll start to see how he uses you to help other people understand his grace. So Jonah decides he's going to go a different direction. This is what we're told. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Now, I wish we had the technology to do this, but from this point on in the story, all of us are in a crazy storm right now. Like, just imagine, like, water splashing in your face, people falling on the floor, people can't breathe, we're going to die. Like, the whole section from now on is going to be that experience. It's like one of those Disney rides where they make you feel like, oh, it's a wind is blowing, so if it's windy, you can't hear me, right? That's the moment of this story, that Jonah now has gotten everybody into this mess. I thought about this for the sermon, right? That part of what we learn in chapter 1 of Jonah is what does it mean that sometimes we're caught in a storm that is someone else's mess? Like, we didn't start the storm, it's not our mess, but you're stuck in someone else's storm, and these people on the ship are like, what is happening? They're afraid for their lives, and not only that, the money that they've saved, the things they were going to sell, they're throwing it overboard. You know how bad it has to be for sailors to throw money overboard and to start to throw stuff that they have? Like, it's like going at your house and throwing money out the window. You know how desperate you have to be? Like, God, answer our prayers. Take everything we have. And Jonah almost doesn't even care. There's this moment in the story as you read it where Jonah knows something that he doesn't care to pass on, which is essential in his role as a prophet. That God, the God who called him, the God of Israel, is not only a God who loves the Jewish people, but he's a God who wants to extend grace to those who are not Jews. If they know and they learn that their lives, when they're wicked, need to be repented of and surrendered to his ways. Jonah knows this in such a deep way, that God is gracious, that God is kind, that God is loving, that God is good to people who are not good like all of us. He knows this, and we know he knows this because he's sleeping in the middle of a storm. That's what he's doing. This is what we're told in the story. But all of this time, Jonah was sound asleep. Some translations say in a deep sleep, like gravel style, like five gravels, right? Down in the hole. So the captain went down after him. And he says, like, how can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted, get up and call on your God, and maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not die. Has anybody ever yelled at you to pray? Like yelling at you to start praying to your God so that we don't all die. In this moment, this captain is like, oh my gosh, like what are you doing? Like you're just sleeping? That's kind of weird. And part of what we experience in this moment in chapter 1 is Jonah has confused how easy it is to confuse sleep with peace. One of the most important things in our lives is that it's so easy to just want some rest. I just need to go to the spa. I just need to get some sleep. And to confuse a feeling of peace with real peace that only comes with obedience. Jonah has to learn that just because he's sleeping or he feels like a sense like everything's going to be fine, God's a good God, things are going to be okay. You know why? Because things are not going to be okay. They're not just going to get better. And this is important for each of our lives. Because each of us in our own ways, when we make decisions, we're always praying and trying to figure out what God wants us to do. And I've met with so many people who have a complicated situation at work, a difficult issue with a marriage, issue with finances, fighting with a coworker, angry at parents and in-laws, all this stuff. And they're like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, have you read the Bible? Have you got some wisdom? And they're like, not really, but I have a peace about it. I'm like, it doesn't matter. What you're going to do is wrong. Because we can use peace to be a feeling that never leads to obedience. But peace in the Bible is not just a feeling. Actually, peace is the name of Jesus, and he's called the Prince of Peace. He's called the Prince of Peace because he does what God called him to do. And when we follow in that, we don't confuse just sleeping or being tired or getting a day at the spa with real peace. Because peace comes with the responsibility of doing difficult things. I remember, like, that was so frustrating for me. Because I wanted peace to mean God's going to make it easy. I wanted peace to mean if I do the right thing, everybody's going to get it. No, sometimes peace is the wrong thing for everybody else. Because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is going to be crucified. Just so you know. So Jonah, sleeping away. And Jonah's at this point where he doesn't even care that his disobedience is going to distort the picture of God of everybody on the ship. All of these sailors are going to start going to every trick that they know to try to not die. How many of you would do the same thing? I'd be like, I don't know, Ouija board, all kinds of crystals. And I'm not even kidding. It sounds crazy because we hear about it in our culture. But in the ancient world of Assyria and all the religions, people had all kinds of spells, incantations. They'd cut animals and look at their insides to see a sign of whether they should go into battle or not go into battle. And all along, we're told that the people on the ship, these sailors, this is what they're going to start to do. They start to cast lots, like they're gambling, trying to hear from the gods. It says this, and the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods. And when they did this, the lot identified Jonah as the culprit. That's incredible. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Like, who are you? And what is your life's work? And what country are you from? The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. And look at this, the best, right? Oh, why did you do it? With the like, oh my goodness. Are you running away from your God? And we're all stuck in this mess because of you? Not only are they stuck in this mess, but Jonah sees that they're so afraid, and the Bible tells us that in their fear, they're moving deeper and deeper into all of the superstitious, weird beliefs that they have about gods just to figure get out of it. When people don't experience God's loving grace, the option in a crisis is always to try all kinds of weird things that are out there, instead of learning that God's grace is available to us, even sometimes when things are not clear. I know so many people in our culture that every day they're bombarded with all the things they have to do. They feel like their health maybe is not well. They're running to everybody, every specialist. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. Like, there's a peace that God has for you now. And if we're not careful, what we miss is that Jonah's disobedience continues to distort the gracious ways of the God that he serves. It's going to distort this for people constantly. They're going to be confused. They're going to be looking for all kinds of different answers. And at one point, it's almost like Jonah in chapter 1 has one moment where his eyes are open. Like one moment where he gets it and he says, you know what? This is my fault. It's my fault. If you want this all to end, if you want like our crazy water in our mouth, wind, we're all going to die moment to go from confusion to calm, this is what you need to do. This is what Jonah says. You see this. You pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. This is the moment in chapter 1, do you read it, where Jonah realizes, I'm just going to tell them the truth. And I tell them the truth that this storm is my fault. Marius is just going to play softly, and I'm going to kind of wrap up, but I want to just say something important for many of you. Maybe some of you, you really need to hear this morning. Some of you maybe feel that in your life, you're living in a storm, and you need to hear that that storm is not your fault. You need to hear that you are stuck in the mess of a situation that you've inherited because of decisions that others have made, and you need to know that because it's a mess, that God hears your prayers even though you're in this storm. So many times in our culture, when we find ourselves in a storm, we start to wonder, is it us? Should I have done something different? Maybe God's punishing me, on and on and on. And sometimes you just need God's whisper to remind you, it's not your fault. But I know that this storm is painful. And I know that you're overwhelmed. And I know that you feel like you're going to die. And what's profound about this is that when these sailors who know nothing about the God of Israel, when they kind of cast lots, God is so gracious that he uses a pagan method to tell them Jonah's the guy. Do you know how much God loves us? That even when we make a mistake and we do the wrong things, he's still there telling us the truth? That God shows these pagan sailors, Jonah's the guy. And Jonah's like, just throw me over. These sailors are so conflicted because of Jonah's disobedience. They're just trying to figure out, this God that you worship, you're a prophet of this God, like this is what he does to people? Like, they're so confused because Jonah has been disobedient. Confusing them of the gracious ways of God, the loving ways of God. This is a great moment for Jonah to tell them, hey, by the way, God even cares about the people in Nineveh. I should be there, but he's not going to say that. He's not going to do that. The sailors are stuck because they know something that maybe we've missed in the story. They know that if they take Jonah and they throw him overboard, they're going to be cursed for killing Jonah. And if they keep him on the ship, and they don't throw him overboard, they might just die in the storm. So they're like stuck in the complexity of the situation. What would you do? What would you do? They feel that like the gods are going to punish us if we just kill Jonah. So we can't just do that. And we can't just keep him on this boat. This guy's disobedient. This is crazy. What's so profound is that these sailors who don't know Yahweh care about keeping Jonah alive. But Jonah doesn't care about the people in Nineveh who are dying. Let that sink in. This is what it says near the end. It says this. They cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Our Lord, they pleaded. They never even heard of this God. They're just trying to pray the best they know how. Don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Like, we don't want to kill him. We don't want to keep him. We don't know what to do with him. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. A few verses, they finally throw him over. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This might sound like a great ending to a story, but it's not that great, because it's important to remember that in the ancient world, when you were afraid, making sacrifices was a way of just appeasing the gods. In no way have these sailors understood that the God that Jonah serves is not a God you should fear, but a God you should come to want to be faithful to. And they're confusing fear and prayer and sacrifices with everything all the other religious groups did. And you know what Jonah should tell them at this point? By the way, God doesn't need your sacrifices. The God that I serve is loving and he's gracious. You don't have to sacrifice. It's my fault. Over the next few weeks, as we go through this series, I'm going to invite you to listen carefully to times in your life where God is calling you to model his grace so that other people would get a glimpse of how good God is. All of Jonah is a book of God extending his grace to the people in Nineveh He's extending his grace to sailors who are lost. He's extending his grace to Jonah who's disobedient. And he's extending his grace to you and to me. And he's saying to us, don't say no when I call you. Be obedient and go where I call you to go. Just trust me when you feel like things are a mess. Just trust me when you feel like you're in a storm that you had nothing to do with. But I'm with you there. Because Jonah reminds us that our disobedience always distorts people's understanding of God's grace. That they confuse what it means to be superstitious or what it means to make sacrifices or what it means to be afraid. And I know so many people that when they think of God, that's what they think of. Because they've never heard of the God that Jonah should be talking about. The God who sees the evil ways that people live and says, this is unacceptable when you're hurting others. So this week, as you leave in a few minutes, I'm gonna invite you to just read chapter 1 and chapter 2, even all of the book of Jonah if you can. If you're stuck on the 15 and you put it on audio, 13 minutes. Just listen to it. Because in the next few verses, a big fish is gonna show up. It's a cool and beautiful part of the poetic way the story unfolds. And as you read the story, you're gonna realize that almost all of creation is obedient to God. The wind, God sends a storm, the wind goes. A big fish is sent by God, the fish goes. A plant is gonna grow, God's gonna say a plant needs to grow because it's too hot, the plant's gonna grow. All of creation is obedient, but Jonah, disobedient. So that we would feel like, oh my goodness, like, am I prone to doing that in my life? I don't wanna be that kind of person. We would learn from Jonah. I'm gonna have you stand, and I'm gonna pray for us. And if you're here and you don't have a Bible and you'd like to get one, we'd love to give you one for free. So on your way out, just tell our team, they'd love to give you a Bible. If you prefer having a hard copy and listening on the phone is not the best way for you. You know, before I let you go, I just want to say one last thing, and this is just important. I thought about this with our team this week. If you're watching online, this is really important for us as a church. This is the last Sunday we're together before our brothers and sisters and our friends in the U.S. vote for a new president. Okay, so in a few days, much of the world, and at least those of us who are nice neighbors to Americans, are gonna feel the anxiety and the stress of all kinds of things related to elections. Can I just encourage you, if you're part of this church and you're growing in your faith, to be very careful about posting inappropriate things, comments that are not gonna be helpful, things that would be discouraging and weird, even though it feels right on social media. And that there's one thing that's very clear from the Bible, that as we think about the world and all the governments of the world, that we're called to pray for leaders. We're called to be thankful for the time in history in which we live. And we're never called to forget that Jesus is the King and the one that we worship. And we can trust them in the midst of storms we might not create. And it's so important for us to model this for this broken world that we live in. So just, if I'm your pastor, be careful and wise. We can all pray. So let's pray now. Jesus, thank you so much for reminding us of Jonah and for helping us to understand that you are not just a prophet, that you are the one that would come who is the King of Kings, our Lord, the Prince of Peace. This week, Jesus, we're gonna need your help as we think about how to say yes to your ways, as we think about how to live in the times that you've extended grace to us. We pray in a special way for all of our American friends, brothers and sisters, churches that support us, maybe those listening online, who are gonna need wisdom and strength to respond in ways that you are leading them to respond. And Jesus, no matter what happens this week, we pray you would remind us that even in storms we have not created, you are still God and you are still with us. And we pray this in your name, amen. Hey, thanks everyone. If you're here visiting, we'd love to say hi. If you'd like to pray with someone, we have just people here in our prayer space that would love to pray with you. We love you all. See you next week. God bless everyone.